Bowen.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump announcing that the U.S. will raise tariffs on all goods imported from nearly 70 countries beginning in a week. However, there are questions about the legality of the trade policies in the first place. ABC's Jonathan Carl.
Trump's so-called reciprocal tariffs are facing serious legal challenge. On Thursday, federal appeals court judges grilled administration lawyers, appearing to doubt that the president has the authority to impose these tariffs without congressional approval. The administration has already lost in the lower courts on this. This is almost certain to go to the Supreme Court.
Posting on social media today, the president is also calling for the Federal Bank's Board of Governors to usurp the power of Fed Chair Jerome Powell in lowering interest rates. He also calls Powell a, quote, moron. Jobs numbers from the Labor Department out this morning. School teacher suspected of stabbing a mother and father to death on a hiking trail in Arkansas will be in court today. Police say he acted alone. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the sheriff's office completed an investigation following information brought forward alleging that a registered sex offender intentionally photographed minors in Vernon County. In late March, the sheriff's office received a report from the La Crosse Police Department indicating that during the execution of a search warrant at the home of a registered sex offender, digital storage media was found containing photographs of minors believed to have been taken in Vernon County. As a result of the investigation, Jonathan R. Stotts, 41, of La Crosse, was identified as the source of the photographs. Findings of the investigation to date have been forwarded to the Office of Vernon County District Attorney Angela Palmer Fisher for review. The sheriff's office is recommending a charge of registered sex offender intentionally photographing minors for a total of 24 counts. Jonathan Stotts was convicted of trafficking of a child party to the crime in La Crosse County Circuit Court in November 2023 and required to register as a sex offender for 15 years. Stotts is currently facing multiple felony charges in La Crosse County stemming from a La Crosse police child pornography investigation that began in February following a cyber tip. The Vernon County photos were subsequently discovered during their investigation. Stotts has remained in the custody of the La Crosse County Sheriff since his arrest on March 25th. The investigation continues. If you have any information about this crime or any other crime, call Crime Stoppers at 608-637-TIPS. That's 637-8477, or submit a tip online at p3tips.com. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers arrived in the nation's capital to face the Nationals tonight, part of a three-game weekend series. Milwaukee holding on to first place, one game ahead of the Cubs. The Brewers 20 games above 500, a .593 winning percentage. And as a division leader, that's the lowest ever heading into the month of August in Major League history. NFL, the Packers ready to go under the lights tomorrow night inside Lambeau Field for family night. What makes it so special? Tucker Kraft.
It's just the crazy part about Lambeau in itself is it's just this huge, glorious legacy stadium in a neighborhood. All the people of Green Bay, lucky 80,000, get to come pack the stadium out and just watch us practice. And it's not just an ordinary thing. It might be the only time some of those people get to get inside the stadium. And then the family aspect at the end of it, getting to go down on the field. This year I'll be able to have my own daughter and my wife out there with me.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 70s for a high today. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins the show to talk about the launch of her campaign for governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Here I am on a Friday morning. It's August 1st, 2025. Nice to have you here back up north, live across the Civic Media Radio Network, where we will be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez in just a moment. Brittany Merlot was with us last hour, and the forecast is just, we don't need to take up a lot of time for that. She reminds us that we have a dry stretch right now. Chances for rain hold off until next week, but we are definitely battling some bad air quality. So there is sunshine, but it's behind a lot of wildfire smoke. And statewide, highs today will be in the mid to upper 70s with a light northeasterly wind. Tonight, clear and cool. Scattered fog is possible. And, of course, the smoke hanging around as well, at least for the near future. Calm winds tonight. Lows will be in the upper 40s up north to the low 50s south. And again, we have our local forecast on your Civic Media radio stations throughout the course of the day, so stay tuned to that. Stay tuned as well for our Free Ticket Friday keyword. If you haven't heard it yet, we'll tell you all about it before we head out of this particular segment. Get that Civic Media app ready. Go to one of the stations, use the text feature, and text us the keyword that I'm going to give you, and you will be in the running, a statewide drawing for 4 tickets to next Friday's Brewers game. That one will be Brewers versus Mets next Friday, if you're the winner of Free Ticket Friday. The Brewers tonight are in Washington, D.C. They are taking on the Washington Nationals. Pre-game coverage will begin at 5:10 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us on Friday mornings as well. Dr. Lyerly also hosts the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. Weekends, Saturday, what, 3 o'clock, right?
Saturday and Sunday at 3 o'clock, yep.
I think I'd get that time right by now. What do you have coming up tomorrow?
We're talking about food waste. You know, all that food that you eat or don't eat, and then it ends up in the garbage, there are so many better ways to deal with that. And we've got some wonderful local nonprofits who are helping to manage food waste, including about 6,000 pounds of food that was generated in Green Bay during the draft. Wow. So we're talking with Selena Darrow from Rooted In about some of the cool, innovative work that she's doing.
Okay, so that's the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show this weekend on the Civic Media app and on the stations in Green Bay and Oshkosh as well. Kristen is a former candidate for state legislature. She had also run for Congress, but it was as a candidate for state legislature, I believe, when you met our Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez.
It's true. We went to go turn our papers in, and I ran into this wonderful woman. She had a history of being a nurse, a public health worker. She worked as an epidemiologist for the CDC, and we just immediately clicked. And now she happens to be running for governor.
And now she happens to be here as well. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really good.
Can you vouch for any or all of what Dr. Lyerly said?
Yes, we quite literally ran into each other when we were handing in our papers and then started chatting. So it was really exciting. It was so nice to see another healthcare professional running for office, because it doesn't happen that often, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. We've talked about that a lot, that healthcare professionals, by and large, you know, shunned the public spotlight, shunned politics. But certainly in the past 5 years or so, that has changed for various reasons. And so I want to go back, you know, 5 years or so, because, I mean, you're familiar with the term overnight sensation. You know, these are people who have been toiling like rock and roll bands. They've been playing in bowling alleys and small clubs for years. They finally get a hit record and people are like, they're an overnight sensation. Well, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, welcome to the club. You have been involved in Wisconsin politics for exactly 7 days, to hear some people tell it, and are now an overnight sensation. But you have actually been doing a few things over the past few years. And I want you to talk about your path to becoming a candidate for governor.
Yeah. So, you know, I have spent most of my career in healthcare. Like Dr. Lyerly said, I'm a nurse. I am a public health professional. I worked as a nurse in an emergency department. I had been an executive within large healthcare systems, and I was an epidemic intelligence service officer with the Centers for Disease Control, which means I did outbreak investigations nationally, internationally. And 2019, 2020, when COVID hit, I saw that the Assembly and the Senate was doing nothing. They didn't meet for 8 months when people needed leadership and guidance. So I ran for office for the Assembly. And I live in Waukesha County, so I flipped a district from red to blue within that Assembly district. And I was in the Assembly for 2 years. And then Mandela Barnes, he ran for Senate. So the Lieutenant Governor's seat became open. And I decided to take that microphone and be able to talk even more broadly across the state about things that I care about, which are healthcare, affordability and access, making sure that families are able to afford not just the basics, but actually thrive within Wisconsin. And being able to be under Governor Evers and seeing the amazing thing he's done, he has set us up for success with these last two terms. And I'm going to knock it out of the park as governor. So that's why I'm running. I want to make sure that families have what they need to thrive in Wisconsin. And I'm just really excited to talk to everybody across all 72 counties. I've done that every year as Lieutenant Governor, visited all 72 counties. I'm going to continue to do that, go out, listen, see what people want in their governor, see what people want in their state government.
Kristen, I want to bounce this over to you as well, simply because of the theme of people who saw how the pandemic was being handled by a certain subset of the political class, trying to, you know, get rid of safeguards and put people, you know, at risk of dying. And I feel quite strongly led to people dying. There are still people that want to talk like they're angry about how government handled the pandemic. I'm still equally angry about how people tried to blow past all these safeguards. And thankfully, it motivated other healthcare workers to run for office.
This is the reason that healthcare workers don't like to get involved in politics, right? Because we believe in evidence and data and science. And we know that there were things that we did well with COVID and things that we didn't do well. We were building the plane as we were flying it. And we were doing the best that we could, but we always had the people of Wisconsin, our neighbors and our patients at the forefront. That's who we were working for. But what we saw was that, and let's say it, it was Republicans. It was extremist Republicans who were politicizing this message, who were telling people, who were making masks political, who were making medications political, who were pushing these cures that actually didn't work. And it was literally killing people. The number of stories that I've heard from emergency department physicians of people who showed up sick with COVID, preventable COVID, and said, I am ready for my vaccine now. And it was too late.
Yeah.
And then they went on to die because they listened to a politician instead of a healthcare provider. So I think that is one of the really important points about someone like Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez running in this position as the person she is with everything she brings. In addition to, and I know that I'm like grandstanding right now, but I have to tell you this story. I met this person last night. We were doing a bike ride and we were in Appleton, and he was telling me about the time that he was at an event in Outagamie County, and he was talking to this wonderful woman and they were having this great conversation. And all of a sudden she said, "Oh, I have to go." And she walked up to the podium and started talking, and he realized, "Oh, wow, I was just talking to the lieutenant governor. I had no idea," because she was such a real person. She was so regular, and he connected so beautifully with you, Lieutenant Governor. And I think that is one thing about you that people really need to understand. You are like us.
That is so sweet. And that's what I think people want, is they don't want a politician, right? They want their neighbor, their friend. You know, I'm a mom of two kids, 16 and 18. I'm shocked that I have an 18-year-old and he's actually an adult. I don't even know how that happened. But you know, these are the kind of things that weigh important on my mind as a mom, as somebody who's been working full time. You know, I had to try to find childcare when my kids were smaller, and it wasn't as hard as it is now. I talk to families who actually, when they're thinking about getting pregnant, thinking about it, they start calling around to childcare places because they know it's so difficult to find. Like, that's just shameful in Wisconsin. We should be able to have the services we need. And, you know, families should be able to do what they want, go to work if they want to, and be able to have a safe place to put their kids.
It's the kind of thing that, again, childcare should be a bipartisan thing. And yet somehow we've made it political. And as a result of the current environment, and the one that's been in the state capitol for a while here, and now is in Washington, D.C., you have called the president of the United States a maniac. You know what? Truth is a defense and libel, but it does lead to this question of, you know, working with others, working with Republicans, working with independents. What is your history on that? And what is it that you want to do as governor?
So, you know, I live in Waukesha County. It's a pretty red county. And so I do not have the luxury of only speaking to Democrats at home, at work, any other time. So when I was an executive within a healthcare system, I had to work with people who we didn't agree on things. We had to move projects together. When I was in the assembly, I had to be able to work across the aisle to try to be able to get things done. That was more challenging than I thought it was going to be. It was a surprise to me how difficult that was to work across the aisle. But I am willing to work with anybody who wants to move Wisconsin forward. But I don't think anybody can say that the man in the White House is a maniac. It is absolute chaos on the federal level right now. And so we need to have a Democrat in the governor's seat so we can have steady, sober, clean leadership.
Well, especially given what we were just talking about in Texas, where they came in and they're gerrymandering the maps again, just because, you know, Donald Trump said jump and they said how high. Tell us a little bit. Let's go back before your time in the legislature and as a nurse, you know, just some of your early history and, you know, meeting your husband and things like that.
Yeah. So I was in Oklahoma when I met my husband, and I was an epidemic intelligence service officer with the CDC, but stationed at the state health department. And the health commissioner's wife had run a salsa dancing group, and they knew I danced salsa. And so they introduced me to their group, and Baltzar was part of that salsa dancing group. So we actually met salsa dancing, of all things. And we will be married now 20 years coming up this December. So it was just so much fun to be able to share that with him. Now we're getting a little older. I announced my candidacy on my 50th birthday. Like, what a way to start your 50s, right?
Right.
But, you know, we keep joking. We need a middle-aged dance club because we like to be in bed by 10:30, 11, and most of the dancing doesn't start until that time. So, you know, I think that's a business idea for somebody.
I think they could. I think they absolutely should. So, again, we're talking 20 years here, and I tell you, we've got only a minute left here. So I may come back to personal matters in just a minute, but give me the 30-second, 45-second version of your top priorities the moment you're sworn into office if elected as governor.
So we know that families are being squeezed. We know that they're trying to do the best that they can, but they feel like they can't make ends meet. And so accessible, affordable healthcare is going to be top of my priorities, specifically expanding Medicaid so we can bring $2 billion back to Wisconsin to be able to invest. housing costs are out of control. It is insanity, the rents and the mortgages. Young families are not able to afford what they need. Childcare access and affordability is going to be top priority because, again, these are real issues that we need to solve. And lastly, we need to restore bargaining rights for our unions in Wisconsin because we know that it's going to raise all wages if we do that.
That's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez visiting with us, a candidate for governor in 2026. Local update is next for some of you here. The key word to text in this hour as part of the Free Ticket Friday for those Milwaukee Brewers tickets is FLY, F-L-Y. Use that to text us that word on the Civic Media app and get a chance to win tickets to the Brewers game next Friday night. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com. Or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle-numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%, 25%, or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect, you just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Wisconsin schools are expected to get money the Trump administration had frozen. The administration canceled $6.8 billion in payments to public schools through the Department of Education. States have sued, and Wisconsin is one of them. Now leaders say they'll be releasing $5 billion to go to public schools across the country. UW-Madison has suspended a student group that often protest against the war in Gaza. Students for Justice in Palestine protested a visit from former UN Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield back in April. They reportedly yelled at and heckled her and banged on the doors while she spoke. Officials at UW-Madison held a hearing and decided the group broke rules laid out in the Student Organization Code of Conduct. That's according to the State Journal. The group says their voices are being suppressed and they're appealing the university's decision. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has reported a decrease in unemployment rates across the state for the month of June. The new data released last week found that the majority of cities in the state saw a decrease in unemployment rates. Among the 35 largest cities, 24 of them saw the unemployment rate drop, 5 cities saw no change, and 6 cities saw an increase in unemployment. Over the last year, 22 of those cities have seen a drop in unemployment, with 6 remaining at a steady level and 7 seeing an increase in unemployment. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 4.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.88 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 9.6 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 60.4 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.59 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.99 a gallon, a difference of $1.40 a gallon. The national average price of gasoline has risen 0.9 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.10 a gallon. The national average is down 6.5 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands at 37.5 cents per gallon, lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 1.6 cents in the last week and stands at $3.71 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, "It's been another relatively quiet week for average gas prices, with most states seeing modest or slight declines, while a handful of price cycling states experienced the most noticeable fluctuations." He added, "Oil prices continue to hover in the mid to upper $60, and with gasoline demand starting to ease as we head into August, we could see prices gradually decline as we approach Labor Day. That said, this is also the time of year when the tropics begin to stir, so we'll be keeping a close eye on hurricane activity that could disrupt supply and shift the outlook." The Wisconsin DNR is investigating a boat explosion on the Mississippi River. That explosion happened Saturday near Prescott in Pierce County. 11 people on board the boat were ejected in the blast, and all were rescued. 8 people were taken to the hospital for treatment. A preliminary report showed the boat's operator was trying to start the engine and failed twice before the explosion occurred. The names of the victims have not been released. A Wisconsin man has pleaded guilty to smuggling lab equipment to Russian companies in violation of U.S. sanctions. Online court records show 68-year-old Andrew Pogosian of Madison entered the plea in federal court Tuesday. Federal prosecutors charged Pogosian in June on 4 counts with conspiracy to defraud the United States and smuggling goods out of the country. The information claims Pogosian worked through his company, Omega Diagnostics LLC, to ship laboratory equipment to Russian companies, including one that performed chemical research for the Russian military. Pogosian faces up to 35 years in prison when he's sentenced October 7th. The Vernon County Sheriff's Department is asking for your assistance in locating Fred R. Kelly, Jr., age 41. He is wanted on a felony pickup order by the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. He absconded probation or parole supervision in February. His last known address was Viola. If you have information on Fred Kelly's whereabouts, contact the Vernon County Sheriff's Office at 608-637-2123 or your local law enforcement. You can also contact Vernon County Crime Stoppers at 608-637-TIPS. That's 637-8477 or submit an online tip at p3tips.com. No Wisconsin farms have tested positive in the latest outbreak of avian influenza. According to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, the USDA reports one case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a Pennsylvania poultry flock and 3 cases in livestock in California, all within the last 30 days. No Wisconsin farms have tested positive, and DATCAP offers support to improve and maintain biosecurity at farms and dairy processors. Find out more and see the state's milk testing results online at datcp.wi.gov. It's time to get those cream puffs and see the sights at the 2025 Wisconsin State Fair at State Fair Park in West Allis for the fair's 174th year. Fair officials remind you not to bring large bags to the park and to bring some water with you to keep hydrated. Be sure to check out the Dairy Building to get your cream puff and tour the exhibits and events. Tonight's main stage show will be Boys to Men. Get tickets and find out more online at wistatefair.com. The fair is back with its Sporky Awards for flavorful foods. This year's winner is a French toast dish with UB sweet potato butter and banana. Other nominees included a breakfast bratwurst with blueberry preserves and a pancake bun, brat rangoons, a Korean-inspired gochujang, smash burger, and Mexican street corn pizza. You can also get dessert with the Hunka Hunka Fat Elvis Donut Ice Cream Sandwich or churros with s'mores toppings. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Vernon County Sheriff's Department is asking for your assistance in locating Fred R. Kelly, Jr., age 41. He is wanted on a felony pickup order by the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. He absconded probation or parole supervision in February. His last known address was Viola. If you have information on Fred Kelly's whereabouts, contact the Vernon County Sheriff's Office at 608-637-2123 or your local law enforcement. You can also contact Vernon County Crime Stoppers or submit an online tip. Parents in Sun Prairie want district administration to resign after the arrest of a school dean. 30-year-old Robert Gilkey Meisegeier was charged in Dane County Monday with 2 counts of child sexual exploitation and 13 counts of possession of child porn. He served as dean of students at Sun Prairie West High, where prosecutors say he was collecting photos of underage girls and offering alcohol to those who gave him photos. Parents and students say complaints about Gilkey Meisinger and others went ignored and were never reported to police. They presented a petition to the school board Monday night, signed by hundreds of students and parents. A Madison man who prosecutors say poisoned 2 women and put 1 of them in the hospital for more than a month pled not guilty to the charges against him. 43-year-old Paul Van Dyne was arraigned Tuesday in Rock County Court. Van Dyne is currently being held at the Dane County Jail on a $10 million cash bond. If he manages to post that amount, he will be transferred to the Rock County Jail, where his cash bond is set at $37.5 million. He and 41-year-old Andrea Whitaker face multiple charges in both counties.
I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Law & Order franchise has been teasing its viewers for years regarding a romance between detectives Olivia Benson and Elliot Stabler, played respectively by Mariska Hargitay and Christopher Maloney. Fans on social media have been asking when it will happen. Maloney recently told the New York Post he's been trying to get them to hook up for a long time. Hargitay says she is enjoying the flirt game and is keeping an open mind about the situation. Maloney currently stars in Law & Order Organized Crime, and Hargitay is in her I Lost Count season of Law & Order SVU. DC Studios may have made a lot of money over the years, but they haven't had a film that's reached the $300 million plateau domestically since 2022. Thanks to James Gunn's Superman just crossed the mark. This is the 9th DC movie to reach $300 million here in the U.S. The last DC film to hit that mark was The Batman 3 years ago. I'm sure DC would like even more cha-ching, so be sure to check out Superman, which is still in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 70s for a high today. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
While I'm off taking in the best Wisconsin Northwoods has to offer, we've got you covered everywhere in the state. Enjoy highlights from recent shows and don't miss your chance to win tickets to see the Red Hot Brewers with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey, sign up for our newsletters. We have a weekday one, and then we have a special Sunday edition focused on Wisconsin politics. And I can bet you a pretty good sum that we're going to be talking about that interview with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. So sign up for our newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. And I believe, Dr. Lyerly, that your discussion with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez yielded exactly the person that you thought you knew.
Yeah, she is just a regular person, but also brilliant and a wonderful leader. And we are so lucky to have her here.
Mm-hmm. And again, as other candidates get in the race, we will be welcoming them to join us here as well as we continue following the news for next year's elections. But now we're going to follow sports because that's way more fun. And we've got both Packers and Brewers to talk about with Mike Clemens, who's here from Packer training camp. Mike, all right, how are you?
Very good. Yeah, we're in the little media center that we've got here at Lambeau Field where we've been going to practice every day and watching the team getting ready.
What are your overall impressions so far? I know it's early, but what's the environment like there?
Matt LaFleur is trying to, get a more physical team going. You know, when you think about the way that they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in the playoffs, when Elgton Jenkins, their starting left guard at the time, the play had gone off to the side there, and he was just kind of jogging along, and a guy named Nolan Smith, a linebacker, he just went and just drilled him like out of nowhere, almost like a pro wrestling move with his helmet. Well, Elgton Jenkins' arm went limp. I mean, I saw him after the game in the locker room. He needed two teammates to help him get his jersey off. He had the worst neck stinger. And so, Elgton was a bit of a holdout. Turned out to be kind of a back injury. But I was able to talk to him off microphone later. And he agreed, because when you watch that game, Vic Fangio, the noted defensive coordinator for the Eagles, it was his first year there, but he's been all over the league. He told those guys, it's the playoffs. The refs are going to keep the flags in their pockets. Hit somebody on every play, right? Before the whistle. But just hit somebody, because you see that happen 4 or 5 times. So Matt LaFleur knows that we've got a young team. We've got a lot of speed, but we need to be more physical. You need to throw body punches when you get to the postseason. And so he's trying to do that. At the same point, during the regular season, you can be called for penalties. So Rashid Walker has been the starting left tackle for the Packers now, going on year 2. And so the other day, there's this play where Jordan Love is backing up the pass. J.J. Inigbari is a defensive end. And at the snap, bam, he pops Walker in the shoulder pads, really loud. And he's driving and driving and driving, trying to go after the quarterback. And Walker's, you know, pushing him off and pushing him off. And the play is over. And, it, you know, Walker looks at him like, dude, you know, you're overdoing it. That, you know, hey, over. And somebody, maybe in the bar, he said something back. And then Walker said something to the defensive player, Enagbare, and assistant coach said, all right, 63, you're out. You're out. And he was like, what? Yeah, go to the sideline. Now LaFleur's back there. He's running the offense, right? He's got his walkie-talkie. He looks up, where's my left tackle? So the assistant told him what had happened, and LaFleur comes running over. This doesn't happen in the NFL. Maybe Pee-wee or junior high or high school. He comes running over. He says, Sheed, that's his nickname for Rashid, Sheed, take a lap. Eddie, well, he goes to one of the assistants, make sure he takes a lap. And like, what? So he's shrugging his shoulders. So he starts trotting off. Now, Josh Jacobs, the running back they picked up last year from the Raiders, a guy who's become a team leader, he looks around to Tucker Kraft, and the other guys just says, come on, we're going to follow him. So Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, and about four or five other linemen, they go follow Rashid Walker in this lap all the way down there to the north end of the end zone. They come back about 3 minutes later, taking a lap. And we asked LaFleur, so what was that all about? He goes, hey, look, in the NFL, it's not only, you know, if you can have a late hit or an illegal hit, but sometimes things that you say, if it could trigger a fight, they'll throw a flag and you'll be charged for 15 yards. So he said, these practices have to be game-like conditions, and I'm not going to tolerate it.
Interesting. And, you know, that plus, as Tony says up on YouTube, a more physical team, absolutely love that mentality. So it definitely feels like the players and coaches, they have their heads in the right spot already.
Well, you've got to, there's a fine line between being more physical, but, you know, you have to, it has to be football. You know who was really good at that? Was Reggie White. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could clobber you and then pick you up after the play.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So Packers Family Night is coming up at Lambeau Field tomorrow. I'm going to ask Kristen about it in a minute, but tell me your thoughts on what folks will be expecting tomorrow.
Well, you'll see the offense and the defense. You see a scrimmage. It's not, you know, tackle to the ground, but you'll get to see the offense and the defense. You'll see Jordan Love throwing passes to Golden, to Matthew Golden, the first-round draft pick, the wide receiver. You'll get to see Nate Hobbs, number 21, who it looks like he's going to be right now. He's in the driver's seat to be the starting defensive back alongside Keyshawn Nixon. By the way, did you see this report this week, Pat, that Jair Alexander, you know, who they had that big kind of contract dispute because they weren't going to pay him the injuries, in his first week with the Ravens, John Harbaugh, the head coach, announced that he was having his knee drained.
Oh, no.
So it looks like the Packers made the right move there. But the thing I love about Family Night is one time I'm in the radio station and our production director said, hey, I'm taking my son Jack, age 7, to the game Sunday, you know, and we've got some tickets. I said, hey, have you ever been to a game with him before? He goes, no. I said, you know, you should take him to Family Night first. Well, I already bought the tickets. How much? No, like over $200 a piece. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they play the Seahawks. Great game. I see him in the hallway the following week. I go, hey, so how was it? He goes, it got to be the third quarter. He said, Daddy, can we go home? So I said, you know, this is why you go to Family Night, man. It's $10, and you get to see all the Packer players, yeah. And then there's fireworks afterward. That's where you find out how much they can get their sample of the Packers that way, and then later you can take them to a game.
It's a sampler platter thing. Kristen, you're going to be there probably every year, Kristen, right?
Yeah, and you know, as I'm listening to Mike talk, first of all, I'm thinking, be physical, but don't hurt each other. That's just the mom in me. But I'm also, when I think of Family Night, I'm like, tailgating, the weather's going to be perfect, the food, the fireworks. Yep. People are so happy and excited, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right, so.
Well, it's the dress rehearsal, too, you know?
Yes.
And for a rookie like Matthew Golden, it's his first time inside Lambeau Field with 70, 80,000 people. So, you know, it gets him ready for the preseason and the regular season games when they have home games.
Yep. It's so much more laid back. It's like a party. It's not like a game. It's like a party. People are cheering for fun things that are happening on the field, but it doesn't have that like intensity. It is just an entirely different atmosphere. And Mike, the $10 ticket price is very cool.
Yeah, outstanding.
Here. Oh, yeah. Let's turn our attention to the Brewers here. And once again, you've noticed a theme. We've come to the trade deadline, and there's no blockbusters. That is not the typical way of doing things. What did the Brewers do ahead of last night's trade deadline?
If people saw the headlines, Pat, they're saying, oh, well, so they got a, did they get a bat? Is Brandon Lockridge from the Padres, you know, 28-year-old? No. You know what? As I'm kind of going through the papers this morning, and to me, this is roster maintenance. I mean, what they did is Nestor Cortez is the guy that they had got from the Yankees in that trade for Devin Williams, their closer, that, you know, they weren't going to be able to match him for a contract. And Cortez, like a week or so into the season, has an elbow flexor, and he's been out most of the season. So they trade him to the Padres, and they get a backup outfielder, because right now Jackson Churio, your center fielder, he's got a hamstring injury. And a couple of weeks ago, he had Sal Frelick out with a hamstring. So they just got added some depth, you know, someone in the outfield. And then they did another deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks sent them two players. Now, Shelby Miller is a right-hand pitcher. He's currently on the injured list with a forearm strain. And another guy, Jordan Montgomery, both these players in their 30s, he just had Tommy John surgery. So he ain't even going to play this year. So I think it's for a player to be named. No. So at the end of the day, these guys are sort of cleaning up the back end of their rosters, doing each other favors. It's not like they made. I thought it was interesting though the other night in that game when they beat the Cubs the other night, and Andrew Vaughn, who they picked up from the White Sox when they traded away pitcher Aaron Savalier, hits a grand slam. And Bill Schroeder says, you know, everybody wants the Brewers to make a big trade because the deadline's coming up Thursday. You got to make a trade, get a bat. Well, there's your trade right there.
Yeah.
It's just the Brewers did it about a month ago, you know.
Yeah,
there's your bat they picked up.
It was perfect. The Brewers head into the series against is it still fair to say the lowly Washington Nationals tonight? They just haven't been the same since they won the World Series in 2019. They've been in rebuilding ever since.
Yeah, they have. But here's the interesting point. This Milwaukee Brewers team, remember they got, you know, just rolled over by the Yankees opening weekend?
Yeah.
Right now, the Brewers have the best record in baseball. They're 20 games above 500. Their winning percentage is .593. So even when you're in a league with the teams like the Mets, the Dodgers, the Padres, some of these other leaders, the Brewers have the best record in baseball right now. And at .593, their winning percentage is the lowest ever for the league heading into the month of August in Major League. So that means parity right now. That means you've got an even horse race amongst all these teams, American and National League, heading into, you know, the month of August.
By the way, as I'm looking at trade deadline stuff here, how not fun is it to be a Minnesota Twins fan this morning where they have traded 10 players from their 26-man roster? I mean, just an out-and-out fire sale, which, again, if you're rebuilding, I suppose that's necessary. But, my goodness, Mike, that's just got to be demoralizing to a fan base.
It's an equipment manager's nightmare, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Went there. I was thinking like their fan base is already demoralized. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I'm stuck. I'll be here all night doing the laundry. Are you kidding me?
having a son-in-law who is an equipment manager, I can immediately relate, and I'm so sending him now texts about the Twins and see how that works out. So the pitching core, we, you know, traded away a starter because we have such a good core of starters, and that's how we head into the weekend series with the Nationals with a good core of starting pitchers.
You got Quinn Priester has come along, and then you got the Miz, you know, Jacob Mizorowski. So these are the things that have popped up and gone the right way for the Brewers. And even that trade, when they got Nestor Cortez, you know who else they got in that trade from the Yankees? Corbin Durbin? Or Caleb Durbin, your third baseman. He's one of the hottest hitters you've got. So there's always these diamonds in the rough that end up, you know, being the difference makers in some of these trades.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so you got the Brewers Nationals. Again, pregame coverage starts at 5:10, and then you've got the Packers family night at Lambeau Field tomorrow. So I sense we'll have more Brewers and Packers training camp stuff to discuss next Friday. Mike Clemens, have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Have a good weekend.
All right. We'll see you. Kristen, this probably just gets you as excited as ever to get over to family night.
Yeah. I mean, this is the best time of year because the weather is good.
Yep.
People are super excited. The season hasn't started yet, so there's nothing to criticize. It is literally just about like being together and partying.
Yeah. And you can never argue with a tailgate at Lambeau Field when the weather is beautiful. But back to the Brewers for a second. It is Free Ticket Friday, and the keyword is fly, F-L-Y. Just text that on the Civic Media app, and you could be in the running. There will be more keywords across the Civic Media radio network throughout the course of the day. One statewide winner is going to get four tickets to next Friday's game, Brewers versus the New York Mets. A local update next for some of you. Others will have some final news and notes from here on Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday. On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center. We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I am Phil Nee with your sports update. Locally, baseball last night, the Home Talent Night League action. The regular season came to an end. It was a win for Cazenovia as they picked up a 10-5 victory against Sauk Prairie. And thus, Cazenovia makes the Night League Home Talent Baseball playoffs. Congratulations to the Reds. Schulzberg-Benton, a 7-0 winner over Hollandale yesterday. It was a win for Dodgeville over Wisconsin Dells, 6-2. And Arena is in the Night League playoffs after a 1-0 victory against Reedsburg.
Speaking of Arena, they stay busy this weekend with a Sunday League home talent baseball game, a second round game, and a matchup at Blanchardville. Manager Nick Larson said it was a total team effort last week in the win against Hollandale.
Yeah, that was really fun, Phil. It was, we got after them, fell behind early, and we had a chance to tie it back up, but it took us a couple innings to get things going, and we had some, everybody down through the lineup contributed, whether it was base running or stolen bases, courtesy running, big hits, a couple timely steals. It was fun. It just kind of showed what that team's all about.
So Arena plays in Blanchardville this weekend, and I asked Nick about their opponent.
Blanchardville is going to come out strong. They got some good pitching. They got some real good sticks in the lineup. We were kind of in a, I like to think of a little midseason funk there when we got them at home. We kind of came off that tough loss against Argyle and then kind of maybe had our tails between our legs a little bit, and they definitely got after us. But I think we're looking to get a little revenge on them and hopefully come away with the win.
Blanchardville manager Larry Schlem talked to me about Arena.
I think they had a bad day the time we played them, but I know they can hit. They have good pitching. They're solid. They were really good at the beginning, and we were bad at the beginning. I think we caught them on an off day. So I expect them to be much better, much more ready to go. And I don't think they appreciated how they played that day. I expect them to be ready to go.
The game at Blanchardville can be heard Sunday on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, a pregame time at 12:45. A big weekend for local sports. The Riverdale Community Foundation putting on its annual golf outing. Greg Kinney talked to us about that event going on tomorrow.
It's a huge fundraiser for us. We have been doing it for quite a few years now, and we get a lot of people that really enjoy it. There's no prize money for first place, just a lot of camaraderie and people having fun, and we get to raise money for the foundation. And normally, we're in that $4,000 or $5,000 range by the end of the day. So we are full with 18 teams. It's been kind of a crazy year. We were full early, and then we had some teams drop out, and then we got full again, and we went to 19, and now we're back to 18, which is full, and so we're happy with that. And it looks like the weather's going to cooperate, so we should have a great day.
If you can't golf, you got in too late or whatever, you can still help out the cause, though, can't you?
Absolutely. If people want to stop by, we have bucket raffles, silent auction items. If you just want to stop by and drop off a donation, why, we'll gladly accept that. We have people that will be in the building all day long, and so it's just a huge fun event and really important for us. Last year we gave back $18,944 to the teachers at Riverdale and the students at Riverdale, and so that was our record year for us. We had never gave out that amount, and so it takes events like this for us to keep generating money every year to keep being able to do that, and it seems our number is growing up every year, so we're happy about that. Our grand total for the years that we've been in business is $150,480, so it's a pretty significant number.
That is Greg Kinney, the Riverdale Communities Education Foundation golf outing going on tomorrow at Hickory Grove Golf Course in Fenimore. The Brewers did make one final trade before Thursday's deadline. They sent pitcher Nestor Cortes to the San Diego Padres and received outfielder Brandon Lockridge. They also picked up pitchers Shelby Miller and Jordan Montgomery from Arizona. Montgomery is out for the season. Lockridge put up impressive numbers in AAA, but was hitting only 216 for San Diego. He will be sent to AAA Nashville. The Brewers return to action tonight. Jose Quintana starts the first game of a weekend series against the Nationals. It is in Washington, and the Nationals will counter with Mitchell Parker. Washington is 44-64, fifth in the National League East. Some other notes from baseball. The games going on this weekend. Certainly, there were just a handful, just a dusting of games yesterday in the majors, and the trade deadline sparked a whirlwind of activity as well as teams rushed to strengthen their rosters. Most notably, All-Star shortstop Carlos Correa reuniting with the Astros. The Padres have been busy acquiring closer Mason Miller. The Yankees added reliever David Bednar. The NFL season kicked off at the annual Hall of Fame game with a moment of silence for the four people killed earlier this week by a shooter who was targeting league headquarters in New York. The gunman also wounded a league employee in the shooting on Monday night. In the game, it was all the LA Chargers as they scored the victory against the Lions. Training camp is off to a slow start for a pair of Packers. Cornerback Nate Hobbs has been disciplined by his head coach Matt LaFleur more than once. Hobbs has been called being too physical while practicing against his Green Bay teammates. In one case, his hit on Marshawn Lloyd sent the second-year running back to the sidelines with a lower leg injury. The team says Lloyd's injury isn't being blamed on Hobbs' hit. Clutch Points reports Lloyd's repeated injury problems may already have him on the team's roster bubble. The Packers have plenty of candidates for the backfield. That is a look at local sports during Pat Kreitlow Mornings on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. Catch the Brewers all weekend long against the Nationals. And also on WRCO, FM 100.9, it will be day number 5 of our Walk with Grace radio auction, the fundraiser for Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. And that happens between 10 and noon. You can check out the items at WRCO.com. All of the proceeds stay in Southwest Wisconsin to help local cancer patients. Have a great day. Welcome to August, by the way. Enjoy a little cooler weather this weekend as well.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. We've gotten in new numbers on the U.S. economy reflecting how companies are trying to plan with the Trump tariffs looming. The Labor Department showing just 73,000 jobs were added in July. And there was a huge revision on the number of jobs we thought had been created in May and June. Here's ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
That revision for the prior 2 months, for May and June, 258,000 fewer jobs added. That means in those 2 months, just 33,000 jobs were added. I think what you're starting to see is businesses are having a hard time planning for the future, expanding payrolls and hiring more people because they simply don't understand what their costs are going to be going forward.
The White House announcing that previously announced tariffs on about 60 countries will be kicking in next week. Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff visiting one of the aid distribution sites set up jointly by the United States and Israel. The UN says more than 1,000 Palestinians have died trying to get aid at those sites since Israel reclosed the borders. This is ABC News.